company. Attention. And there we were. There I was. This is, now I'm in the Presidio of Monterey. It's 1990. Just joined the military. And boy, did I have the world by the tail. I was enjoying every minute of my life at that moment. Without a doubt, it was absolutely wonderful. There I was, standing at attention, just like the rest of us in the company, in our PT grades. It was time for PT. We had just finished our class for the day, and at the Presidio Defense Language Institute, basically what you do all day long is you study your language that you've been assigned. And I got a chance to study Persian Farsi while I was there. And for you, for those of you maybe not sure where that comes from, that's the native language of Iran. So I got a chance to study that. And then here we are in our formation, all of us looking the same in our PT grades, getting ready to do push-ups and sit-ups and getting ready to run in what would probably arguably be the most beautiful part of the country I've ever been in. And if you ever get a chance to, I don't know if there's ever such a thing as heaven on earth, but Monterey, California might be very close. So if you ever get a chance to travel out that way, you may want to do it. And now that we have our little travel advice out of the way, we'll go on with the message. But there we were, and here we are standing at attention, all of us looking the same, and then it happened. I'm in the 5th platoon. From the 2nd platoon, you hear this. Ew! And then you hear this cackling going on. And the first sergeant's looking over at the 2nd platoon as if to say, folks, this is not what we do in ranks. What's going on? And for my poor buddy. And we laughed about this the whole time. We were still at the Institute until we went our separate ways after we got out of there. And he says, First Sergeant, I am sorry to cause such a ruckus here, but a seagull has just relieved himself on my PT grades. And it was at that moment where we realized that his uniform was no longer the same as ours. His uniform had a little bit something added to it than the rest of us in our uniformed PT grays. And I bring that little illustration today because that's what I'd like to suggest to us today. You know, when you hear the scripture today about the armor of God, and incidentally, I went on, when I was on Facebook today, I saw a little thing on it. It said Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 16, prayer warriors. And there's this knight with his sword and he's getting there, getting ready to get on the horse and go on into battle. Well, I'm going to argue today that that really isn't necessarily the case of what we're hearing in our scripture today. In fact, just like my poor buddy that was a victim of a seagull, I am going to suggest that we all have armor that looks a little different. And some of us may have armor that's thicker. Some of us may have armor that is thinner. And for some of us at times, in a story I'm about to tell, the armor doesn't exist for a while. And those are the most difficult times that we have in our world and in our lives. So you got to back up a little bit. That formation happened sometime in 1990, a year earlier, May 31st, it was a Wednesday. And I know you guys might think, how in the world do you remember that May 31st, 1989 was a Wednesday? Well, unfortunately, I remember it real well, and you'll hear why in just a moment. But it's a Wednesday, it's May 31st, and I'm standing there raising my right hand saying, yes, I'll go into the military. 6 months down the road, I was going in and I went to the community college for 6 months, did the late entry program, and I was off to Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri for my basic training in January of 1990. Had the world by the tail. I went back home closer to Chicago after signing up for the military. I went back home 2 days later, graduated high school, and now here I was. I had my 2 summer jobs, working at Hardee's there in town, and also being the umpire chief of the Little League Baseball program. So I was umpiring, calling outs and calling strikes and calling balls and calling safe out to all kinds of kids all season long. I was excited. It was going to be a great summer. A week later, we take that trek across Interstate 80 all the way through Iowa. We all got excited at one point. We got west of Des Moines. and there was actually a curve in the road. We couldn't believe it. That's the way Iowa looks to us. You know, we're driving off, and there we are at the University of, well, first of all, we're just outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. And there we meet my brother. He is now the director of the Outdoor Ministry Center, Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Center, just outside of Lincoln for that year, at least. He'd been that way, I think, for a couple of years at that point. And here he is, a director, and he's just greets us. I'm so excited to see you guys. This is going to be an incredible weekend. You see, we were out there for his wedding. And he was getting married that next day, well, actually 2 days from then, because we got out there on a Thursday. And so the next day, we get up, we do his rehearsal dinner, and the next day we get on the campus of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, which incidentally, if you've ever been to the, okay, I'm going to do one more travel pitch. If you've never been to the University of Nebraska, that's a nice campus to look at, too. So you ever get a chance to travel to Lincoln, that would be a good one for you, too. But there we are, in the wedding. I'm his best man at the wedding. Wow! Just graduated, just signed up for the military, got my summertime jobs, going to community college for a semester. Folks, this is awesome. First part of freedom that I have, you know, because I'm in college now, and everything is just wonderful. Best man at his wedding. We get done with the wedding. We have a wonderful reception. We get up the next day and head back across Iowa, cheer because there's another curve in the road, get back into Illinois. And this is, of course, is before we have cell phones. So we get back, it's getting dark now, and this is June, so it's about 9, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock. Police officer meets us at the door, I'll never forget it, Officer John Kearns. And he says, can we go inside? And we're like, and of course, at this point, we're like, what in the world is going on? And my dad's kind of struggling with the door now, because he's like, why is the police officer here? He says, John, I can't get the door open right now, what's going on? And John says, guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but Bill was just killed in a car accident outside Kansas City on their way to their honeymoon. Been married a day and gone, just like that. And so now, 1 week on a Saturday, I'm his best man. The next week, I'm going to be his pallbearer. I got to tell you something, folks. When you talk about the armor of God and having that in you or with you and that spirit, that sword of the Spirit, and all this armor to do the works of God, all of a sudden, at that very moment, I'm saying to myself, how in the world does this happen? My armor is gone. History, right there. I'm 18 years old, you know, and that's kind of a precious kind of moment in your life where you're kind of like, not necessarily distancing yourself from the church, I would say, but, I mean, let's face it, we all have those moments in our lives, particularly going into college and stuff, where you kind of get separated or go into military. So I'm already fighting that piece in my life, and now this has happened, and I'm saying, what God does this? My armor's shot. I had a thick armor going on at that first point because, you know, I've been raised in the church. My pastor was absolutely excellent. I had a great youth group, so things were good. I had thick armor. And in a matter of seconds, my armor went from that thick to gone because how does this happen? Well, little did I know that immediately the prayer warriors that we're talking about and hearing about in the scripture, they're going in full force in our little town. And everybody is praying for us. Not to mention the fact, I'd forgotten this in the first couple of those services, not to mention the fact that a guy behind me who was going to be a senior had been killed the week earlier too. We had lost two guys, relatively, my brother, 22, at the time, or 23, and then Marvin would have been 17 when he was in his accident. We lost two guys right there the first part of June in this little town of 6,400. And all of a sudden, these prayer warriors are just coming out. And I'll tell you what you read about, what we read about in the scripture is so true from our community. You go to the funeral, and people are just there. It's amazing. My older brother's friends, my sister's friends, my friends, everybody there showing this level of support unlike no other. And then all of a sudden, because these folks have their armor on, sharing their support for us in one of the most difficult times in our history as a family, all of a sudden my armor is getting built up a little bit more because of the love and support that others are showing to us. And although it took me some years because I was in, you know, with the military, you know, bless all those guys that I was friends with. It was some of the best relationships I've ever built. But I'll be honest with you, church was one of the furthest things from our minds at that time. Probably about the only time I went to church was 1 hour on Sunday, every Sunday during basic training, because that way the drill sergeants weren't yelling at you for an hour. So we'd go to church, because they'd let you get away for an hour to go to church, and then they'd come back, and then you had to get your stuff together for Sunday, and they were yelling at you. And at least for an hour, you got to just kind of not be yelled at. So that made it kind of nice to go to church. But that was about the extent of my church-going time. But all the while, things are happening that to some extent, I just didn't even know what was going on. For instance, my father was building up his armor stronger and stronger and stronger with each and every passing day. He was about 5 years. At that point, he was 5 years away from retiring from the schools. He was a music teacher and then a principal and a guidance counselor to end it. 30 years in the public schools between Wisconsin and Illinois. And he was getting ready. From the last 5 years, he started going to seminary part time here and there. And then he eventually graduated from there, retired from the teaching, and got just a matter. He retired June 1, and July 1, he was placed in his first Lutheran church, not too terribly far from my hometown. About 25 miles, he got to his first church. And we weren't there for his first service. I wasn't there for his first service. But I remember hearing this at some point in a family conversation. My brother that was killed, his name was Bill. He was Bill Jr. And my dad, of course, is Bill Sr. And he stands before the congregation and he says to them at one point, he says, "Folks, I have a news for you. I'm going to do the absolute best I can. But the wrong Bill Zanton is here today giving this message to you all. The correct Bill Zanton we had to say goodbye to 5 years ago. But he's the guy that was doing all this directing at an outdoor ministry center and doing all this outreach to kids that needed it. But I'm going to do the best I can because that's what we have." And all this while that I didn't really notice, no, a lot of this was going on because I was in the and I was away in the military. Incidentally, I promised Pastor Scott that I wouldn't use military references too often. So all the time I've said military, you tell him that I never did, okay? He's going to wonder how much military I brought into this thing, and I shouldn't. He says, "I just don't want military." He says, "You don't have to necessarily go military with this." I said, "Okay, I sure won't." And then, of course, what's the first thing I think about is telling some army story, you see? So Dad is there, and he's the one giving it. And this gentleman, the pastor at our Lutheran church, he is providing the support to Dad as he's going through all this and showing that armor of God. And the people that were there to support us, they were showing us that armor. Wouldn't you say it's true? Because all of a sudden now my armor is getting built up again because my dad is full-fledged in as a pastor. I'm learning more and more about how he was supported, and then we supported each other as a family through this thing. And now the faith starts to grow again. But isn't it true? Isn't it true that we go through these times in our lives where our armor is this thick, and then all of a sudden something can happen and it gets to that thick? I know it happens to me. And I think if we're going to be able to go through this passage really, really well and look at it closely, then we say to ourselves, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with knowing that my armor can be here, it can be there. Because I think that's true and that's being real, and I think that's just the way it goes for a lot of us. And that's where I think you can help in the next step of this. If we can kind of be okay with the fact that our armor can change, I'll tell you what, my armor is going to be different on Wednesday than it is today. I wouldn't be surprised. My armor could probably be a little different Wednesday at 5 o'clock than it is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My armor could probably change in just a matter of a couple of hours, just because it's all about the faith journey that the Scripture's telling us about. Well, our faith journeys fluctuate, I would say. Now, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I feel like mine kind of has its higher moments, its lower moments, its higher moments. It's just like a steady flow, like I'm on a roller coaster almost. That is how I kind of see what the faith journey is. And I think if we are okay with where we are in our own faith journeys and our own armor and how thick or how thin it is and how that fluctuates, then I think we can go into that next step that's written to the Ephesians. And that is helping others possibly with their faith journey. And what does that look like? Well, I think if we're okay with where we are in our faith walk, then we just kind of help someone where they are as well. Maybe somebody's here for the very first time and you just want to say hi, and they say, well, thank you for saying hi to me. And you know something? I've never been in a church before. This is the beginning of my faith walk right this very second. And maybe we can help them walk through their faith walk and actually even learn something from them and have them help us continue to walk as we walk through our faith walk. One of the greatest things I think I ever heard at a disciple class, when I was going through disciple class, I believe that's where I heard it. I heard it in one of my Bible studies. It has stuck to me forever since, and I think it's great. Did you know, and I think it's very true as well, that our actions might be the only Bible that some people read. If they know you're a church, kind of a person of faith, if they know you're a person of faith and you'd like to try to live a life as a person of faith, then your actions might be the only Bible that some people will ever read. And that just kind of drives me to think about the last half of what we heard from in Ephesians this morning, to try to be prayerfully thinking about others and helping each other walk through our faith journeys together. That's what this is all about to me. And that's why when I think about armor, I don't think about everybody being uniform and everybody, all the knights being together and going off with our swords and things. Yes, that sword of the Spirit is all about your relationship and your faith in your Jesus Christ. And that, to me, folks, I think can differ from person to person and time to time. So maybe we're helping Johnny. Maybe we're helping Johnny. We're learning a little bit about Johnny. And Johnny is only comfortable right now sitting out in the garden on a Monday afternoon. So you meet Johnny, and he starts sharing his story. And then you start sharing your story, and together you walk in this faith journey together, and your shields start to build up together. Our armor builds together. Maybe Sally is the person that just wants to sit in the fellowship hall for service. Well, if I'm okay with where I'm at in my faith journey, and I'm going to help somebody else through their faith journey, then hey, that's okay. Where are you comfortable as you walk through your journey of faith? And where is this other person comfortable? You know, when you do foster care, like we have done now for like the last 4 or 5 years, you get kids from all walks of life and you see all things that have kind of happened. Most of these kids, well, you know, some of the kids have been to church now. Most of those kids that we have had that have some kind of faith journey in their lives are kids that maybe have been in another foster home that church and developing that relationship with Christ was important in those homes. So we'll have some kids that have at least been to Sunday school. But you think about it, we've all come from different situations. All of us have different histories in our lives, and that armor is different in all of us. And isn't it incredible to think that since my actions might be the only Bible that somebody reads, that I can be that kind of helpful person to that person. And I can meet them where they are in their faith walk. I can meet them where they are in their faith journey. And we can ride on these horses in our armor together, because the armor is changing in each of us each and every day. Because that's the way our faith journey is. Changing here, changing there, and changing, quite honestly, all the time. And then I would ask you to think about this one, too. Maybe your faith journey and your armor is changing a little bit. And maybe all of a sudden, your armor is telling you this year that, my goodness, I could play the organ once a month. Maybe that's where my armor is. Donna's had that armor on for a long time, haven't you, Donna? maybe your faith journey and maybe your armor this year is telling you, well, you know what? I want to pick up them bells and I'm going to play in that bell choir this year. Because that's where my faith journey is taking me. That's where my armor is. That's where I'm the thickest right now. Maybe your faith, maybe your armor is telling you, I need to be a greeter at these, but right before worship. Because that's where I would be good right now. That's what I can do for someone else. Maybe your armor is telling you that it's time for me to be the guy that helps put things together for hospitality after the worship service. Maybe your armor is telling you that how well you can read music and you're joining the choir this Wednesday. I don't know. But isn't it incredible to think that not only is our journey and our relationship with Christ growing and changing each and every day and hopefully getting stronger, as the words have said in our scripture this morning about prayerfully doing what we can for each other and prayerfully for yourself and for each other. That's what today's scripture was all about in Ephesians. So we're always growing and prayerfully considering where that road is taking us. Isn't it wild to think? Because I'll tell you what, when I first read this message, or first read the passage this last week, I said to myself, okay, all these knights sitting on a horse with their sword of their spirit and their, you know, and the helmet of righteousness, and here we go to protect ourselves against evil. And I said to myself, no, that's not it. It's all of us with our brokenness that's come with us that makes our faith journeys so unique from one person to the next. And how we help each other with those moments. That's what I kind of gathered from this week's passage and what the armor of God means to me as I read through it. So may it be this week that you can take a look at your own selves and your armor and just see what that looks like for you right now. How thick is it? How thin is it? Who can help you with the thin parts if needed? May it also be this week that you find out that there's somebody out there that would love to have you help them through their faith journey. Help them build up their armor. And may it also be this week, as we now enter the season of fall and all the activities that the church has to offer, may it also be this week that you figure out, maybe, is there something you could wear that might be a little bit different? Because I'm going to tell you, doing this today, the comfort zone is like, this is like your comfort box. This is way over here for me today, without a doubt. When Pastor Scott said, do you want to do the message? I said, oh my gosh, are you crazy? And then I said, yes. And then I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my gosh, are you crazy? May all this be this week, that you think about your armor and think about how you can do that for others as well. May all this be in Christ's name. Amen.